earnestly desire an interest in your prayers this afternoon. Appreciate the meeting. Appreciate the Lord's faithfulness to us. I enjoy the opportunity. Monarch holds deep meaning to me, as I know it does to many of you. But I realize that the thing that makes Monarch worth coming to, the thing that makes it worth coming out and sitting through the hot afternoon services, makes it worth sitting on the hard pews and walking across the campgrounds to the bathrooms, is because the Spirit of the Lord. Whenever the Spirit of the Lord is willing to come down and meet with us, that's what makes it worth coming. Without that, we have nothing. And so I ask for an interest in your prayers, that the Holy Spirit would have right of way in what's said, that He would anoint His Word and have a burden that's been on my heart. I'd like to begin in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. 1 Peter 4 in the 17th verse. It says, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel? What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" Like to consider this thought of judgment beginning at the house of God. Whenever I think about the word judgment, it seemed like the Lord brought it to me in a little different manner, perhaps, than what I've typically thought of it as. We heard this morning that there is a series of preliminary judgment that we face, that the Lord puts us through. I believe the Lord is wanting to do everything that He can for His people to draw us closer to Him. The Scripture says that He's coming and that He might present unto Himself a glorious church, having not spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Man, I want to tell you that glory is still available, and I still see it, and I thank the Lord for it. But I realize the glory is not of myself. The glory is not of any work of my own. But I say, Lord, I want You to have free reign in Your working in my life. The judgment of the Lord is His workings and His dealings with us. The things that He brings us through and the way that He deals with us to prepare us, that we might be found in His image without spot and blameless. And so I want to submit myself unto the judgments of the Lord, the dealings and workings that He has on my life. I'm convinced that the Lord has the answer to any problem that we face. Anything that we come up against, it's not too complicated, that the Lord doesn't have the answer and the solution for it. I don't believe that we need go from monarch to monarch, struggling with the same things over and over, battling the same things year after year. I believe the Lord has an experience with Him by His faithfulness and His dealings and workings with my life, that I might be able next year to have some growth in my life. That I might be able to get to the place that I'm a little further down the road than I am today. The song talked about, Lord, send me. Wasn't it Isaiah that said, "Here am I, Lord, send me"? My interest and burden this afternoon is that we could be in the place that our life's testimony and prayer could be, Lord, send me. Lord, I stand prepared. But for the Lord to be able to use Isaiah, to be able to use any of us, there is a preparation. There is a work that must happen in our lives. I must submit myself to the workings and dealings of the Lord on my life. The Lord spoke unto the children of Israel, and they were wandering in the wilderness. He said, "You've encompassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward." The word encompass means to encircle, round about. You've been circling this mountain long enough. The time's come that it's time to go on. You know, we sing a song, number 300, "The Land of Beulah." It says, "I can see far down the mountain where I wandered weary years, often hindered in my journey by the ghosts of doubts and fears, but the Spirit led unerring to the land I hold today." Left a part out of that. "Broken vows and disappointments thickly scattered over the way." You know, wandering is a discouraging thing to do. It's a frustrating and a tiring thing to do. I think I'm making progress. I leave camp meeting encouraged, and then I see myself passing one of those old familiar landmarks again. And I find myself in a rut, in a routine. I'm going in circles. You know, that's frustrating to realize, to expend your energy and your efforts with the desire only to realize I'm in a rut. I'm going in a circle. I believe the Lord would want to say to us through His faithfulness of His dealings, it's time to turn northward. If there's a place in my life that I've been struggling over and over, I find something that I'm never able to completely get the victory over, I believe the Lord is, and I've heard it in this meeting, the Lord in His faithfulness, trying to deal with us and dig about us. The Lord wants to deal with the very root of the problem. You know, we tend, I believe, to live on somewhat of a superficial level in our relationships, one with another. Sometimes I see you and it's good to see you. How's the weather? So forth. And if we're not careful, our relationship with the Lord can take on that same kind of superficial level. But I think of when Jesus walked on the earth. Jesus dealt with the very root of people's needs and their problems, went beyond what was evident at the surface, and He dug down until He got to the very root of the problem. I believe the Lord is interested in more from us than just dealing on the surface. More than just giving us a good feeling that I can leave Monarch happy. That I've gotten somewhat of relief. But I believe the Lord wants to go to the very root of whatever the need might be. The very thing that's causing me to go in circles. The thing that's still staked down so deep that maybe even I don't see it. Lord, reveal it to me. And I believe the Lord has that kind of depth, that kind of relationship. I believe that's the level of consecration the Lord wants to get us to, that He might be able to have the leeway in our lives to work with us. We need not have a roller coaster experience. Think of the scripture, it talks about Reuben. It says, Reuben, thou art unstable as water, and thou shalt not excel. I want something that's deeper than that in my life. I want something in the time that I live in that's going to be settled and established, that whenever the winds begin to blow, that I've got something that's fixed in my life. Dealing with the surface won't get me there, though. Read a statistic just recently. Said 48% of Americans regularly take mood-altering drugs. The most prescribed medication is antidepressants. It said that that's seen a 40-some percent increase in the last 7 years. That's dealing with the surface. There are people's needs and people's lives that go so deep. Hurts and wounds and emotional needs. And yet the tendency of the prescription is just get something that'll mask it. Get something that'll mask the pain that you're going through. Lord, help us not to try to mask our needs. That I not settle for something in my relationship that just gives me a good feeling, that just gets me by, but that I would be willing to allow the Lord to get down into the very depth and the root of my life, what it is that's causing the pain. I had a friend one time that I worked with. He would come into work and I could tell he was in pain. I asked him what the problem was. Said he had a toothache. Yet I saw him coming in day after day after day and never went to see what it was or check if there was any tooth decay. But he began to depend upon painkillers to the point that I would see him walking and talking almost out of his mind because he was so highly medicated just to kill the pain that he was experiencing. You know, people and the pains that they experience in life can tend to do the same thing. But I want us to realize until we allow the Lord to go down and touch the very root of our need. Until we allow the Lord, looking on the exterior surface, I'm sure you couldn't see any tooth decay. But up underneath there was something that was decayed. There was something that wasn't right. Lord, help us not to be content with just a form. Not to be content with something that looks okay on the outside. I have all my ducks in a row, so to speak, but yet there's some decay internally. We can try to mask the need that we have, but the Lord wants to go down and touch the very root, the very place in our lives that would be the stumbling block to us. It's beyond what is evident on the surface. The Lord has given us indications that we have a need. The Holy Spirit. Isn't that the way the Holy Spirit works? Whenever there's a need in our life, that He's faithful to come and touch that place in a meeting, a setting such as this. Or in my life, whenever I'm going through something and the sweet Spirit begins dealing with me, there's an indication. I had a car once that had a check engine light that kept coming on. You know, whenever a check engine light comes on, it's frustrating. It's always there before you. You can try to turn, you can try to ignore it, but it's always there. Well, I didn't really want to take care of it. And so I found an alternative solution. I found that a little piece of electrical tape will do the job too. You take this electrical tape and you put it over the check engine light, and now I don't see it anymore. And it's not bothering me. It's not the nuisance that it used to be. You know, the Lord's given us these kind of indications through His Spirit, through His dealings with us, to say there's a deeper need. This thing that you're going through, don't just work on the surface. If you'll give me the leeway in your life, I want to dig down deeper. I want to dig down beyond what's evident, beyond what's on the surface. Lord, help us to be sensitive to His dealings and His workings with our life. Those are the judgments of the Lord. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Whom the Lord loveth, He'll deal with us and work with us in His faithfulness. Thought about the oil spill that we've been hearing a lot about in the Gulf. You see the pictures of the birds and the wildlife coming out of the water. Talk to some that live in Louisiana. They're seeing it a little closer than I have. You see the pictures and you hear of the disaster that it is. Got a lesson from that. You know, there were tar balls that were washing up on the beaches. People going along trying to collect the tar balls, cleaning the beaches. But you know, until the wellhead is capped off, it really doesn't do any good. Because the oil's still coming, it's still spewing out. And understand, it seems that perhaps they have it capped now. You know, in our lives, it can be very frustrating. If I'm just walking along the beach, so to speak, trying to capture the blobs of oil, trying to capture those things that are evident on the surface, that really should be an indication to me that there's something deeper that's going on. There's something that's causing this. I can try to collect it all off the surface of the water, but yet if it's still spewing from deep within, then it's going to continue being a problem. Month after month, I understand if they left it uncapped, it could go on for years. Lord, help us if there are needs in our lives, that I not leave here, leave this meeting, until, Lord, I dig down and I'm willing to allow You to touch that place in my life. There's a depth over a mile below the surface of the water, but until they're able to deal with the root of the problem, there's going to be no real solution. The Lord wants to deal in our lives at the root of the problem. Jesus, when He walked on the earth, that's what He dealt with. That's the level that He dealt with. He didn't deal with just the external appearances. He dealt with that and more. He went to the very root of it, trying, if you will, to cap off the wellhead. Matthew 12 in the 33rd verse. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, we'll stop there. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's only an indication. Scripture says, by your fruits you shall know them. Whenever I behold and I go through the trials of my life, realize I see some attitudes cropping up. I see some things that are coming up. Isn't that the faithfulness of the Lord? Isn't that the way He deals with us to bring us through the furnace? To bring us through the places that begin revealing to us areas of our life that have got some problems? Got some needs maybe that I didn't realize and didn't see. Out of the abundance of the heart. Scripture says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's the level that we're going to have to be willing to deal with the Lord on. Not mask my problems, not try to just cover it over with dirt so that nobody can see it. Not just try to clean the oil globs off the beach because someone might see there's some oil on the beach, defiles it. Lord, help me to go to the very root. Lord, help me to give you the permission in my life to work and to deal with the root. It seems that there aren't very many people that make lasting changes in their lives. And I believe that it's possible. I know that the power of God and the power of the blood is lost, none of its power. But it seems like, you see, sometimes, and I don't believe the Lord wants us to be discouraged by this, but you see people that make a start. You see people that make a determination. I think of, use as an example, an abusive husband. Maybe feels repentant for the way that he's acted, and the realization comes to him, I'm in trouble. I'm in need. Maybe goes and gets some roses and truffles and whatnot, brings it to the wife, trying to mend things over, but that's not dealing at the root. That's not dealing with the very source of the problem. The Lord wants to go beyond the surface. And if we're willing to do that, then we can come back next year, the year afterwards, and the Lord having had the liberty in our lives to deal with that problem. Think about the difficulty. Why is it so difficult for us to be able to make the lasting changes? Those areas of my life that I say, that's just who I am. That's what I was born with. That's the way my parents, my family were. That's just me. The Lord doesn't want us to make excuses for that. Sometimes we ourselves are camouflaged to ourselves to be able to see it. Scripture says in Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, 23rd verse, the way of a man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. The song said, had I the choosing of my pathway in blindness, I would go astray. Another verse says, who can understand his errors? Lord, cleanse thou the secret places, the places that I don't see, the things about myself that are so inherent to who I am that I've learned to maybe just deal with. Lord, search those areas of my life. The spirit of man is a candle, and the Lord searcheth the innermost parts of the belly. If we'll allow Him to and open ourselves up to Him in honesty, Lord, search me. Lord, I give you the permission. Show me those things of myself that I don't see. For every way of a man is right in his own eyes. So Lord, help me not to stand in justification of myself. Scripture in Revelation, the 3rd chapter, talks about, because you think that you're rich and you have need of nothing, and yet you don't realize there's a need. Because when I look at myself, I can find so many ways to justify what I see. But Lord, help me to allow the Lord's judgments to work in my life. Lord, you make the determination in my life. And yet you don't realize that you're naked, blind, that you have need. The Lord wants to search by His Spirit the inward parts of our lives. I'd like to turn to the book of Job. Chapter 34. Familiar with the plight of Job, the trial that he went through. He was complaining somewhat, and he was declaring his uprightness before God. Elihu came and said that his belly was as a bottle of wine that needed to vent, and so he spoke and he voiced what God had given him, began to deal with Job. And said, for it, let me not, 21st chapter, actually the 32nd, 21st verse, 32nd chapter, let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto man. For I know not to give flattering titles. In so doing, my Maker would soon take me away. You know, we could go not very far and find a people and find a minister that would, the scripture talks about heaping unto themselves teachers having itching ears. You know the world's full of that. They give people what they want to hear. I want to hear somebody pat me on the back. I want to hear someone say, you're justified in the attitude that you have. You're justified in the condition that you're in. But I'm interested, it said, let me not give flattering titles. Lord, help me to be honest in my dealings with you. To be open, Lord, you make the judgment. 34th chapter. It says, that which I see not, 32nd verse. That which I see not, teach thou me. If I have done iniquity, I will do it no more. Job's response to that. Oh Lord, if there's something, Lord, I thought that I was clear. Lord, I stated my cause and my case before you. But Lord, it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. So Lord, if there is something, and oh, I would that this would be each of our prayer this afternoon. Lord, if there's something in my life, that thing that I don't see, that I don't understand, that's maybe been the cause of my stumbling time and time again. Lord, I need something more than what I've gotten. I need to go deeper than the level that I've already found. Lord, that which I don't see, that which I cannot understand, Lord, I give you permission to work. Lord, I give you permission to go in and change that and put your finger on it. That which I see not, teach thou me. I'd like to move back, skip around just a little bit here in Job, to the 33rd chapter. 14th verse, for God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. Remind us again of that verse. Had I the choosing of my pathway. If I sang the song this morning, thank you for the valley. If I had every answer to prayer that I prayed in the way that I prayed it, isn't it our tendency to say, Lord, deliver me? Lord, whenever I'm in the heat of the battle, of the furnace, Lord, would you deliver me? I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I believe the level the Lord wants us to be at, of the consecration in our lives. Lord, though you slay me, I'm going to trust you. Lord, have your way in my life. Lord, I want your righteous judgments to work in my life. That's the way the Lord works. It says that the Lord speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not. Lord, help me to perceive your voice, to perceive the dealings and workings of your spirit in my life. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. Oh, thank God for his mercy. Whenever I would so easily go astray, and oh, it can be so easy for us to stand and justify this and justify that, justify where I'm at. But Lord, search me. Because Lord, it's you that judges me in that final day. Lord, I don't want to find myself, and this is always my prayer. Lord, let me not be deceived. Lord, let me not stand in deception believing I'm okay, and yet not realizing there's something I don't see. There's something that I've justified. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, the multitude of his bones and strong pain, so that his life abhorreth bread and his soul dainty meat. I'd like to skip down now, for the sake of time, to the 29th verse. It says, lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man, to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. Lord, if that's what it takes, Lord, if that's what it takes to work with me, to bring back my soul from the pit, then I have to say, Lord, amen. Lord, have your way in my life. I want to be so open to your Spirit's dealings and working, your chastening, your judgment in my life. Lord, that you might be able to thwart my purposes and my will, my desires that may not coincide with your will. That's why it's so imperative for us to say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, in every aspect of my life, Lord, have your way. The consecration the Lord's wanting us to be at. Lord, have your way in my life, in every aspect, in everything. I appreciate the saints' belief and doctrine and stand, as is the Bible's, of divine healing. You realize what valuable things and opportunities we would miss? You think of the church in the early morning time, whenever it prospered so much, the enemy was doing all that he could to stamp it out, was doing all that he could to persecute the church, to bring fear. Thank God he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and of a sound mind. You know, it's the Lord and His faithfulness that wants to work with His church and cause it to grow. We don't have persecution in our land today to that degree yet. You know, the Lord still is going to work in whatever way He can in our lives. The scripture here bears out in Job, "These things worketh God oftentimes with man." Lord, if you have a blessing for me, Lord, if you have something that you want to get across to me, Lord, help me to take it. Lord, if it is through affliction, help me to say, Lord, your will be done. Not my will, but thine be done. Because it's the Lord in His faithfulness that wants to work with us. I fear that there is in our world, and I believe it can affect us, a general lack of consecration. The Lord wants us to have a deep consecration, deeply rooted and grounded. The Lord, whatever happens, doesn't shake my faith. Lord, my faith is fixed in you. Because whenever I look in the light of eternity, the things that we now see are but for a time, but the things that we don't see, Lord, help me that my eyes would be on that. Lord, allow you the room to work with me. How badly do we want the victory? Because the Lord has it for us. 119th Psalm. I'd like to look at a few verses here. Psalms 119, 66 verse. "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes." I'd like to skip down to the 75th verse. "I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, that thou in thy faithfulness hast afflicted me." Do you believe that the Lord will allow these things to work in our lives? The Lord will use these things in our lives to draw us, to work with us, to bring us to a deeper depth. We pray, Lord, draw me close to you. Lord, help me to have a deeper walk with you. Lord, help me to be in the place that you can use me. But whenever I pray that, whenever I give myself to the Lord in consecration and sanctification, I'm saying, Lord, take me. Lord, use me. Whatever way, whatever you have to do, Lord, to touch my life, to touch the innermost parts of my heart that I don't see, Lord, prepare me and make me a vessel meet for your use. Scripture says, speaking of the children of Israel, that they murmured in the wilderness, and God gave them their request. That sounds good, doesn't it? The Lord heard prayer. The Lord answered on their behalf. So many times I want to pray, Lord, I need this. Lord, I have a need here. I want you to relieve this burden, this thing that I'm going through. But the end of that scripture said that He sent leanness to their soul. Lord, I want some depth. Lord, in the times that we live in, I need to be rooted and grounded. And my establishment, Lord, whenever I pray, draw me closer to you. I don't always realize, whenever I come down for consecration, to be sanctified, I don't always realize and understand what that entails. But I'm saying, Lord, I'm yours. Use me. Work with me in whatever way that you have to work with me. And Lord, whenever I want some deeper depths, help me. Lord, give me the grace to be able to accept your dealings with me. I'd like to consider the 32nd chapter of Genesis. It's a familiar story of Jacob. You know what Jacob did to steal the birthright from Esau? Jacob got word that Esau was after his life, intended to take his life. Rightly so, he was afraid. I believe I would be. And so he ran. And he spent a number of years running. Spent a number of years that he hadn't had to face his brother. But he came down to the place now in the 32nd chapter of Genesis that he could no longer run. He was coming face to face with what he had run from. I'd like to pick up, consider here in the 7th, we'll start with the 7th verse. Whenever Jacob was going forth to meet Esau the day prior, it said Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and herds and camels, into two bands. Instead of Esau, come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of all thy truth, which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I am passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. You know how easy it is at a time like this in our lives, whenever Jacob was, you might say, panicked. He was in a place of distress in his life. Lord, if you don't do something for me, my life is in jeopardy. Lord, if you don't come to my rescue, I'm in trouble. He was to the point of dividing up his herd and those that were with him. In case one came after them, there would still be a remnant that remained. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need mercy. Ever been to a place like that in your life? Lord, I've got to have your mercy. Lord, I need you today. People get into tight spots in their life, and oh, thank the Lord we can run to him in a tight need, in a tight place in our life. But let's not just seek the Lord for the present distress. Let's not just seek the Lord. Lord, I need deliverance. I need a way out. And that's all I'm looking for. Lord, I need a way out from the pain, and then maybe I can find my way back to what I was doing. But the Lord, and here with Jacob, the Lord wasn't wanting to answer just this prayer. And yes, the Lord had a mighty deliverance. But the Lord had something in mind for Jacob as well. 24th verse, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me, because, Lord, I need something. Lord, I don't have on hand what I need to face what I'm facing tomorrow. Lord, I need something more. None of us know what we're going to face tomorrow. But I come to places in my life that I realize, Lord, I need something more. Lord, I need something more on hand than what I have right now. And I can pray that, and I desire the Lord to just open the floodgates and pour it on me. But oftentimes, the Lord's wanting to say, hold on. Before I can bless you, there's something I want to get across to you. You're in a place now that you realize your distress. And I want to use this place to talk with you. And so Jacob was there wrestling with him, and I asked the question, how badly do we want the victory? Jacob was willing to wrestle throughout the night. That's a long time. That's a physically strenuous activity to wrestle. It drains your energy very quickly. But yet there was something he had in mind. Lord, I'm not letting go. Whenever my energy and my strength is all gone, Lord, I've still got to have something. Lord, I won't let you go until you bless me. And the angel got to the point, even amidst, no doubt, the exertion, physical weariness, that he touched the hollow of his thigh. Now I've added pain on top of it. Do you still want it? Are you still going to hold on to me? Is our determination that same way in the trials that we go through in our lives? Lord, I'm still not letting go. Lord, I'm still holding in there because I know you and your faithfulness. You're dealing with me, Lord. You're working with me. You're wanting to show me something through this. Lord, I've been praying, draw me closer to you. Lord, if this is your answer, then help me to get it. And he said unto them, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. I believe that names at that time had a much deeper meaning than what they tend to today. I hear a name that I like. Maybe I like the number of syllables and like the way it goes together and whatever might go into the way I choose a name. But names here meant something. It was characteristic more than just a title that you called someone. It said something about me. It said something about the way I am. And so with Jacob. Jacob was named because of what he did and coming out of the womb. And whenever he stole the birthright, he was called supplanter. Deceiver. He that deceives. This was Jacob's name. And Jacob for years had been running from that. But yet now he came to the place that he came face to face with. And you know, people, I believe, spend their lives running from who they are. Spend their lives running. It's someone else. It's my neighbor over here. If I can just move, then I'll be okay. It's just the pastor. It's just this congregation. If I could just move. But yet I find I go there and that same those other folks have the same problem. That pastor has the same issue that the other one did. And so I run again. Well, now it's my co-worker. Lord, that which I see not, show thou me. Amen. The Lord's wanting to work with us right where we are. Scripture says, what glory have you if you're buffeted for your own faults? Lord, if there's a need in my marriage, if there's a need in my home, Lord, I might so easily be able to see the other's fault. But Lord, would you show me those things about myself? Lord, if there's anything of my own nature, my personality, the way, who I am, Lord, show me. Show me my name. Show me who I am, the very nature of me. Lord, purge it because I need some victory. And this is the way it comes. Do you believe the angel knew Jacob's name? I don't think that was hidden from him. But yet he asked Jacob the question, what's your name? And he answered. The Lord was bringing Jacob to the place that he realized and had to confess, yes, Lord, that's who I am. Lord, I am Jacob. I am supplanter. I am deceiver. Lord, it's been following me around all these years. And Lord, now I realize it. Lord, I'm willing to deal with it now because I'm in need and I'm in trouble. Whenever he was able to get to that point, he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. Now your name won't be called supplanter, deceiver. Aren't you thankful that's the kind of God we serve that can take that old man, can take that old nature by the purging power of the Holy Spirit's indwelling in our lives, can take that nature and change it so that now essentially my name is changed. Now I'm no longer called deceiver. I'm no longer called whatever it is that fits me and who I am. Now I'm Prince with God. Israel, Prince with God. I've got some power to stand before God. You don't hear people talk about the children of Jacob, do you? It's the children of Israel. Lord, if I want you to work in my life, if I'm going to want to be able to be a blessing to others and to the church, Lord, is there a place like with Jacob here that you've got to bring me to? Lord, are you needing to change my name before you can really have the leeway to work in my life as you want? I believe the Lord wants to search us and examine us and show us those areas. Folks, if ever there's been a time, it's now. I need some power in my life. Lord, I need the scripture speaking of dwelling together with your spouse, dwelling together and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Lord, if ever there's a time that I need my prayers to be able to hit heaven, I don't need anything standing in the way. Lord, I don't want Jacob to be a hindrance, this man to be a hindrance. Lord, search me and try me, that my prayers be not hindered. Jeremiah 13 and 23 says, can an Ethiopian change his skin? Can a leopard change his spots? You know, it's not within any of us. No matter how determined we are, no matter how determined the man that says, honey, I'm so sorry I beat you. I'm so sorry. Here's some roses and truffles. I'll never do it again. Broken vows and disappointments, thickly sprinkled all the way. The Spirit led unerring. It's only by the working of the Spirit that can change a life by the power of the blood, make it a new life. None of us can do it of ourselves. I can determine I'm not going to have to come back down to this altar again with that same need. But Lord, if that's going to be the case, I'm going to need something more than what I have in my strength, Lord, more than my own determination. We can leave this meeting with full assurance that I've got it clear with the Lord. But I also don't believe the Lord designs it to be I can come down at Monarch time and I can get what I need for the whole next year at Monarch. There's still a place in my life as I've now yielded myself to His service and to His working. That day by day, He wants this man to die. He wants me to follow after Him in His leadings and His dealings. He wants me to fortify myself, fortify my life. Thought about an example, I can't remember, it's 2 Kings, I believe, 1 Kings, 20th chapter. Whenever the enemy had come against them and they had said that The God's a God of the mountain, but not a God of the valley. And so they came against them thinking that now they could defeat him. The Lord said, because they said that, I'm going to give you a victory. And he did. But the king received the message saying, go and strengthen thyself, because the king cometh against you again at the beginning of next year. I want us to realize that which we get, and we can get a lasting victory here in this meeting in our lives. But I'm going to have to strengthen myself and fortify myself against those areas of my life, because I can be assured that the enemy is going to come back. Whenever he comes back, if I have the house empty and he walks through the wilderness and comes back and finds that house empty again, then he can come back and fill that. Lord, help me to empty myself out of me. I must decrease, Lord, that you might increase in my life. And fill me, Lord, with your spirit and your power. Lord, change this man. It's not within me. So I want to compare that. Can an Ethiopian change his skin or a leopard his spots? I'd like to compare that to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah, the 4th chapter. I'd like to start at the 6th verse. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Not by any might or power of our own, not because of my own graces within or my own righteousness, but by the grace of God. Who art thou, O great mountain? That thing that looms before me so large. That thing that I've come up against time and time and time again. This is saying, basically in my words, how dare you defy the Most High God? How dare you? Who are you, O mountain, that would stand before me? That place that is a stronghold in my life that I can't seem to get over. The Lord, by His grace, it says here, before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. That thing that looms so large before me is wanting to make a plain before us by the grace of God and by His Spirit and His workings in our lives. It's going to take a consecration. Philippians, the 3rd chapter. Philippians 3, the 8th verse. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win them for Christ. All the things that Paul just listed, his lineage, his pedigree, if you will, all the things that he had going for him, Lord, I lay it all aside. Lord, it's not my own righteousness. Lord, that vision, that the view that I have of myself, Lord, I lay it all aside. Because there's something I desire more than that I may be found in Him. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. The fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Refer us again to the scripture there in Ephesians. Said that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Thank the Lord that glory is still available. The Lord still wanting to show himself. Thought about where the Lord came down and talked to Moses. And said he spake unto Moses face to face. What a privilege. What a blessing to be able to have that kind of communion and fellowship with Almighty God. Lord, I want to have that kind of clearness before you. Lord, deal with me in whatever thing it might be in my life that's a hindrance to me. Whether I see it, whether I don't see it, whether I've tackled it before or I haven't, Lord, help me to give it to you. Lord, help me to be able to gain the victory over this thing. Lord, I don't want to be found in my own righteousness, but I want to be clothed in yours. Lord, I want your glory to descend and be shown. We heard holy anointing oil in this meeting. Lord, help me to empty out. The Lord said for the priests that they were to go up, not go up by steps unto the altar, lest their nakedness appear. As I approach unto the altar of the Lord with my life and I'm presenting it to Him, Lord, help me to have flesh out of the way. not be coming with any carnality or flesh or my own righteousness, my own self, but that I lay that all aside and empty it and say, Lord, that which I esteem about myself, that which I think is a strength unto me, Lord, I lay that aside because I want Your glory to be revealed in me. Whenever I empty out and consecrate myself to the Lord, Lord, have Your way in my life, then His glory can come and fill us and shine within us as He wants. I thank the Lord that there is that kind of victory and power in our lives, that we need not go from year to year, meeting to meeting, struggling, rising and falling again, rising and falling again, as the enemy would like to have us. He'd like to get our Achilles tendon, if you will, so that I'm never able to really work for the Lord as He wants to use me. Because there's this thing that's plaguing me. There's this thing that's hanging on to my ankle and I can't go. Lord, break me free from it. Whatever it takes, Lord, I'm willing to pay the price. Lord, show me my name. Show me myself, Lord. Search me and try me. It requires a consecration, an openness, and an honesty of ourselves. A willingness to say, Lord, whatever it takes, show me. It's going to require us having the determination. Lord, whatever the cost, I want Your glory to be shown through me. I desire Your prayers. Amen.